Because I do a podcast, and the podcast means you record periodically. And someone said I have a nice voice to listen to. I'm gonna read the book, read out loud the book that I'm reading right now. It's the book called Anarcho-Transcreation, which is a multilingual book by Mirna Wabi-Sabi. It's in, I think, Brazilian Portuguese, Indonesian English, and probably some other versions also. But I got the Indonesian English combo because I want to learn Indonesian at some point, and then I can use it to practice, I think. I've read the first 20 pages before deciding to do like the 20-minute recordings of this thing. And also I have to put my leg up because of an injury. So when I'm forced to sit like this, I can just as well read this thing out loud or something. So this is Anarcho-Transcreation. And in Bahasa Indonesia, it's Anarcho-Transkreasi. So, introduction. It's a bit of a complicated book because half of it is printed upside down. Is there some stuff? No, published May 2021. Oh, it's not. Forgot already. Never mind. Published May 2021 in Niterói, Brazil. That's the upside down Indonesian stuff. So there's an introduction, there's the index. Introduction, translation, anarcho-transcreation, anarchism, nationalism, and de-hierarchization, anti-hierarchy. imperialism and discourse, corporatization and remuneration, don't know the second word, authority and autonomy, the conclusion, and some references. And the last one is on page 55, so I don't know, I expect to have like 8 of these 20 minute recordings. I don't know. To speak means to be in a position to use a certain syntax to grasp the morphology of this or that language. But it means above all to assume a culture to support the weight of civilization. Frantz Fanon. Don't know. Introduction. Whoever reads has read a translation. Even if the text is not a translation, it probably alludes to one. Anyone who does not read has already been exposed to an idea that has been translated, be it on TV. There's a note attached to it, but probably in the references or something like that. If there's footnotes, I will also read them because I think they're interesting. I think later on there will be. So, does not read has already been exposed to an ID that has been translated, be it on TV, in prayer, or at work. This book, therefore, is not only for people who translate, it is for anyone who has an interest in how ideas and thoughts are shared around the world. The interest in ideas informs our condition as thinking things that matter in the world. What I want to convey here, above all, is that it is not enough to import ideas, it is necessary to disseminate the idea that people are important. It's not a nation, corporation, or intellectual and governmental authority that matters. We are the ones that matter. And the knowledge is there to enhance our autonomy, especially that of people who are systematically marginalized by the aforementioned entities. Oof. Lots of long words. I'm not good at this. But I'll post it anyway, because, yeah, maybe it's okay. Translation is not just about words. It's about political, social, personal, and historical thoughts and context. Words can be handled by algorithms and binary functions. Thoughts, not so much. They are creations of a life of a being with history and culture, with incomputable idiosyncrasies. Translating them demands the ability to bring a thought to an audience that has its own history and culture, without infiltrating authorship. When we think about politics, the translation of a theory that proposes to be universalist or internationalist needs to consider not only the peculiarity of the new audience, but also of the authorship. If the theory to be translated is one that aims to imagine the end of borders and nation, addressing the complexity of undeniable cultural boundaries is fascinating. Why and how to execute translation projects taking geopolitics and anarchism into account? Here's the footnote, maybe related to the TV thing. The other one. In the Brazilian Portuguese version of this text, I refer to Sessão da Tarde, in English, Afternoon Sessions, a program by Rede Globo, a major Brazilian television network which airs films on weekday afternoons since the 1970s. Its problematic Hollywoodian pop culture influence on Brazilian youth. Okay. Trying to get the next page. Translation. Translation is much more than a mechanical conversion. Several applications nowadays propose to convert characters and words instantly, which, despite being useful, they end up causing a new set of obstacles to understanding, some even become a joke, such as mango juice being translated as sleeve juice. The word manga can mean either sleeve or mango in Portuguese. Most automatic translators have been able to solve this type of problem over the past 10 years, but the phrase washing your mango is more complicated because it requires an analysis of a larger context, since both can be watched, while only one is likely turned into juice. Google Translate, one of the most widely used translation systems in the world, can speed up the work of a translator, but it cannot be the translation itself. Even though this may seem obvious, it is interesting to think about what is behind the inefficacy of automation. About the inefficiency of translation. Automated translation systems have for many years been the statistical machine translation. That's in quotation, statistical machine translations. It starts from the word to the sentence and hierarchizes the relationship between syntax and phrases, in addition to being inaccurate and the subject of jokes. It is a Eurocentric method and works considerably better among Western European languages. The effectiveness of this system when translating between Western languages is attributed to the grammatical proximity between them. But not only, it is necessary to consider the political, historical and economic relationship of countries in this region. Historically, European political powers have been more interested in understanding each other than in understanding populations from regions they colonized. In the case of Dutch colonization of Indonesia and South Africa, the colonists in fact invented a new language for local people. Afrikaans, a language spoken in South Africa, comes from the word African in Dutch, a name given to a West Germanic language because settlers did not want the black population to associate with the white elite. In Indonesia, the Dutch did not want the local population learning the language of the elite either, but they wanted a dominant language for administrative purpose, so they made one based on Malay, Indonesian. The initiative to mechanize translations with languages from outside the European context is recent. Corpus creation is expensive and time-consuming, and many languages are less resourced. Salam, the Faf, Sadat, and Belga, 2015. I think that's a quote. It was only in the 1990s that a corpus, the extensive resource needed in statistical machine translation, emerged for Chinese. This is by Song and Dai in 2015. It makes sense that an automatic translation system has expanded from the Western European context to Chinese English. If we consider the political and economic interest between these regions and the fact that certain languages access more resources, the financial interest behind this move is undeniable. Only 15 minutes in. I'm getting tired. I feel half of my face getting paralyzed. This is what happens when I'm tired. So, yeah. two pages and then break. So the certain language access more resources. The financial interest behind this move is undeniable. In 2016, essentially all major translation platforms changed from statistical to neural machine translation. This is between quotations marks. It is inspired by the human brain, which means that instead of starting from the principle of each word, phraseme, and syntax rules, as in the statistical machine translation, this tool has layers of networks like our neurons. It is interesting thus to see the evolution of the mechanization of our thought. Depending on how a first layer of neurons is activated by an input, certain neurons in the next layer are activated and so on, until it reaches the last layer where the system chooses the most likely possible of what the entries means. Since computers do not process words but numbers, this choice is made based on which decimal result between 0 and 1 is closest to 1. In the same way that each neuron is activated to a certain extent. In other words, each neuron becomes a mathematical function that results in a number between 0 and 1 until the relationship is between each layer of the neuron network becomes an equation that also results in a number between 0 and 1. In the end, the choice is the result that comes closest to 1. 3 blue, 1 brown, 2017. I don't know, that's maybe the method. Ooh, there's a figure here. I see a black and white image, a black square with the number 2 in the top left corner, a vertical white line, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 rows or columns, 4 columns of dots where some of them are white, some of them are black. Below it's the text figure 1. The image is an example of a neural network. The number 2 in pixels. Oh, okay. The number 2 is the input. 784 is the number of pixels. 28 by 28. Oh yeah, these numbers are left of the vertical white line. Each circle is a neuron. The gray color between black and white symbolizes the decimal between 0 and 1, 0 being back black off and 1 being white on. In the context of translation, pixels are sets of words that are more or less close to the most desirable result. Source 3 blue, 1 brown. Well, 3 blue, 1 brown. The fan 17. The text continues with, this new system can encode more than one word at a time and is better equipped to take context into account. Despite failing with long texts or phrases, it is more effective and resembles the human reason. The human reasoning process, perhaps even in its flaws, but it is necessary to remember the political, historical, and economic relationship of those resources In this case, it is the same feature behind handwriting, digitization, and facial recognition technology. Okay, I stop here at page 13.